like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers?
Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
It is an absolute and total dictatorship taken over by the Chicago mob.
I don't know. We wouldn't be doing this dumbass live streaming if I weren't. So yes, I still am running for president. Get over it.
Nice reporter. Now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said.
So much noise from people. I mean, when did we actually go to certain individuals to learn how to think? When was the last time they actually just asked you, make your own decision, come to your own conclusion? There are a lot of talking heads out there, but when it comes to actual factual insightful information, where do I go? There are many good sites out there, but in terms of just one individual I usually keep my eye out for, it's got to be one of the best bloggers I think I've ever read. He gives you the perfect clash of libertarian and conservative insight. Who is this individual? Well, let me tell you. His name is Joel Curtinitis. That's Curtinitis. Joel Curtinitis. He's a branded contributor at The Blaze. He's at the Liberty Conservative, and currently he's at the Des Moines Register. And let me tell you, if you want to listen to a person that has a dry and quick wit, he's incredibly well-read, and he's just going to give you straight talk. This is it. You can find Joel Curtinitis on Twitter at Joel_Curtinitis, or you can find him on Facebook. If you're looking for someone that just gets straight to the point, gives you insightful knowledge that you're not going to get anywhere else, it's Joel Curtinitis. So check him out today.
How about the rest of us? Right-wing and bitter, clinging, proud clingers of our guns, our God, our religions, and our Constitution. Tell us that we're not red enough.
Avoid the noise of Joel Curtinitis.
To the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the one, the only, the awesome-er. Is awesome-er even the word? Doesn't matter. We make up words on the show. Remso Republic, I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. This is an episode I've been waiting to do for several weeks now because I want an excuse to not talk about the election. I've tried everything. Each time I try and get away from it, it just keeps coming back. It's like an animal you saw on the side of the road that, you know, you feed it once, and it just follows you home, and next thing you know, you end up with like 10 cats. That's what this election has been like, and I just want to get away with it. But how can I do that in a way that's still promoting a liberty message, a fun message, still hitting all the basics without talking about the election and everything? Well, for those of you that have been following me for a while, you know that I'm a giant freaking comic book nerd. And most likely, if you're listening to this too, you're a giant nerd as well. I know on the Remso Republic Nation, our private fan group that you can join today on Facebook, I don't think we've talked about politics once since the group started several months ago. Each time, for those of you who are listening who are part of the group, each time you bring up something on the discussion board, it always has to do with, did you see this new movie? Did you watch that episode of Arrow? Did you catch up with what's going on with Uncanny X-Men? It's perfect. It's a great oasis away from all of the terrible things of this election. But let me go ahead and bring in our guest before I just keep, you know, bulldozering through. He's the writer and artist for Indoctrination. It's an amazing libertarian-themed comic series that discusses the protagonists as they're going up against this crazy cult. I'm going to go ahead and let him explain it. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome our guest tonight, Matt Battaglia. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, I was under the impression we were talking about that debate from the other night, but I guess I can talk about the comic.
All politics and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
I'm actually the co-creator. Another guy, Mike Moracci, he writes the book. But yeah, it's about we had talked about the whole what's going on today with, you know, you've got ISIS and you've got sort of what's happened in Orlando and San Bernardino, and we're talking about like how in comics and you know, if your audience reads them and you obviously read them, comics tend to not sort of discuss these sort of big topics like this. I mean, you've got Captain America and he's too busy beating up political enemies than talking about sort of, you know, larger world issues. So we decided, like, let's do a comic that tackles these subjects and also, you know, maybe dives a bit into how do we as Americans sort of taking down these sort of dangerous ideologies, but without losing what makes America America. I think that's how I pitch the book generally.
Yeah, definitely. And for the special edition that came out with Free the People that you guys did for the first issue, just reading the back, Matt Kibbe, he talks about all the different types of isms: fascism, authoritarianism, totalitarianism, and everything else. And the thing about your book, I mean, it's called Indoctrination. It talks about, you know, this cult. I don't want to go ahead and spoil too much, but it has this general idea that people, when they have this void in their life, when they need something to fill their life, they go looking for purpose. And it's like what you mentioned earlier of organizations such as ISIS and everything else out there. People will go looking to fill those voids in their life. And as they're filling them, they're allowing these people, these individuals that have a giant cult of personality around them, to kind of manipulate and change everything that makes them who they are. So they become solely committed to whatever cause they're pushing. So I'm just curious, was there like a specific inspiration for that type of idea that you and your co-author came up with and everything, or was it just kind of something that was a culmination of a bunch of events? Can you go ahead and explain that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think Mike and I had started talking about this, I want to say last year, and that piece that the Atlantic did on ISIS had come out, and we'd both read it, and Mike and I intend to send a lot of links back and forth between each other, even before we had started working on this book. And then and San Bernardino had happened after that, and there were all these things, and we're trying to decide, and the general conversation tended to be like, what the heck causes people to go to this? Like, what's wrong with their heads, and what's missing in their lives? And you know, how does someone end up there? And we thought that would be a good angle for a crime fiction book, is sort of discussing that. And I think it sadly becomes more relevant every kind of week, as more things happen and as sort of the world keeps turning.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm seeing it every day. In case you didn't know, I'm still in college, and I'm currently attending the beautiful Liberty University out here in Lynchburg, Virginia. Okay. Absolutely love it. But we actually we had Ralph Reed from the Faith and Freedom Coalition come to our convocation on Monday, mm-hmm. and essentially to give that to give that speech he gave, a condensed model, I'll just go ahead and say, he essentially said that if you don't vote for Trump, you're a bad Christian. And I had some,
I mean,
yeah, it's, I wanted to find a really political way to say it, but you know, I really don't care. If you don't vote for Trump, you're a bad Christian, according to Ralph Reed. And I've got some major theological problems with that. I mean, anyone can cite scripture. If he's listening to this, anyone can cite scripture. Satan can cite scripture. So just because you cite scripture does not mean your point's being made. But I was joking around with a friend of mine. I said, you know what? I can get a giant golden statue of Trump, and I could put it on the main steps of the main campus and say, if you kneel before the golden Trump statue, he will promise to appoint conservative Supreme Court justices. And if you bring your child to it and sacrifice that child to the giant golden Trump statue, he will pinky promise to appoint conservative Supreme Court justices. So it's we are trying to find, just even everyday people are trying to find people, individuals, to solve all our problems and give us a purpose. It's insane.
Well, we've turned sort of the political thing into our major religion now. I mean, as a lapsed Catholic, I even would find that religion is probably the last of the reasons why I'd come up with to vote for Trump. But and I do mean lapsed Catholic, but you know, they did erect that statue. I live out in Hoboken, and actually, as you're driving in towards to Hoboken, and you're looking down at the Holland Tunnel, you can see that, if you recall, there was that naked Trump statue that was in New York.
Oh,
it's been relocated to outside the Holland Tunnel. You can see it as you're driving in. It's a sight, and I make sure to say my prayers to it every time I drive past it. you know, it's sure is interesting. I mean, in this election in particular, and I think we've been trending this way for a while, and I tend to blame it on social media, you know, but that's probably oversimplifying it. But we've gotten to this point where basically, if you haven't bought wholly into whichever side you've picked, be it left, right, and whatever shade of that you've chosen, you know, you're either, you know, you're whatever ist they want to call you, pick a side and pick an ist. But, you know, we've gotten to this point, especially with this election, where everyone has gone to like, the extremes, and something about this book is like, you know, once you hit the extreme, there's only bad things that can happen. I mean, once you go all the way over the edge, which many people have, nothing good comes of it. And that's one of the things that indoctrination is sort of touching on, beyond sort of, you know, you can also read it just as a crime book. Like, you know, it can just be entertaining, but we did try to put some deeper stuff into it.
Yeah, definitely. Matt, we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. You're listening to the Remsen Republic. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remsen Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Today's program is brought to you by Jeff Peterman at the Conservinator Nation. Have you not heard of it yet? Well, for those of you that don't know, the Conservinator Nation is the newest project of former congressional candidate Jeff Peterman. Jeff is a strong and strident conservative and a Christian, and with his newest podcast, The Conservinator Nation, he's trying to basically give people like him a voice outside of the media. Because if we know one thing, it's that the media is not friendly to the ideas of anyone that's not a progressive liberal. And while Jeff and I may have different points, what we need are a free market of ideas, and Jeff is offering that to you. So go ahead and check him out at Jeff Peterman-Conservinator on Facebook, and also check out his website, www.conservinator.com. Check it out today.
This year, the Libertarian Party is breaking through. We need to make sure that our elected representatives are people who put principle over power. That's why I'm asking all libertarians across the country to help me, Alex Merced, run for U.S. Senate here in New York. With your support, I'll be spreading the message of peace, markets, tolerance, and individualism to people all across the state of New York, and also promote participation in the Libertarian Party. Help me spread that message and promote participation in the Libertarian Party with a donation at alexmercedforny.com. I promise you, every dollar will go to spreading the message and promoting the party. My name is Alex Merced, and I approve this message.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the program. We've got Matt Battaglia from Indoctrination still on the program with us. So, Matt, to kind of change gears a little bit, because I really want to stay away from Trump. He just gets okay. So much attention. One episode. I'm just asking one episode where at least he's got 90% of the content.
I think you brought him up, man.
I did, because it's like a Freudian slip. He's just there. As I said in the previous episode, he's cancer. He's just, I'm infected. I don't know what else to say.
we don't need to keep talking about it. So change the topics because you can get me started on it. And we have slightly different views of, I mean, I've written this whole election off as simply to watch it like reality TV and the results damning regardless of what happens. So.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, you know, some of my favorite comics out there have been the ones that have had a deep philosophical message in them, whether it was the Dark Knight Returns or the Watchmen, and you know, even Kingdom Come by DC Comics. Those have been the comics that have always kind of reached out to me. What were some of your inspirations for as you were kind of drafting Indoctrination and everything else?
So I mean, my sort of forays into comics, I mean, obviously the Dark Knight Returns is obviously, I think, one of the greatest comics of all time, for a variety of reasons. I mean, Frank Miller at the top of his game. But I actually think that Watchmen's overrated and Kingdom really? Come as well. Yeah, they don't.
I can do understand much for Kingdom me. Come. I kind of reach with that, but why Watchmen?
You know what? this is a ridiculous reason, but it's too damned wordy. I'm aware how that sounds, but for a comic, it doesn't move, and I felt like I've never liked it. It's always felt very kind of it's reads slow. I mean, I like Gibbons's art, but. It feels very much attached to a specific point in time. And I just, I've never gotten into it. I know that's my, I guess that's my comics blasphemy, but, you know, I can't do it.
No, I currently
though, I'm, but so, you know, Frank Miller stuff has always been a favorite of mine. I love old Punisher comics. I'm looking at my wall of comics right now, actually trying to pick out some other good cuts for you. Oh, you know what? The Nightly News. That's it's a Hickman's first comic, and Hickman does a lot of books today, but that was his first one, and it's a fantastic, you know, and that came out, I think I was in high school when that came out, and that was a really good book because it was one of the first ones that I read that has an interesting story. It's an engaging story and it's entertaining, but it talks about the sort of the media and the how the media is corrupt essentially. So I mean, it's perfect for the for that. It was perfect then, and it's still relevant and perfect now. And I definitely recommend checking that out, especially for your listeners. I mean, it's a really great book. Yeah, I mean, you know, those are some off the top of my head influences, but, you know, I read a lot, and actually lately I haven't been reading as much, which is not good for me, I noticed, but, you end up pulling in all these different things from just from the years where, you know, I've been consuming comics since I was a kid, so... You know, you pick up stuff illustration wise and some of the themes and stuff like that. I feel like older comics are way more libertarian and today's comics trend more progressive.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely see that with Marvel and DC right now. And I'm thinking that like IDW, Dark Horse and Valiant, they're kind of going against those mainstream, more popular companies because they've always been like the counterculture publishers.
Yeah, I mean, IDW is a lot of licensed content, so you get a lot of Transformers comics and whatnot. Valiant, I think, has done pretty good, but you know what? And Dark Horse as well, but you know, without Hellboy now, they're not doing as much. You know, Image has a good variety. Marvel, I've just realized I'm done with superhero books, and I've been done with them for quite a while. They just don't, which is fine. I just, you know, I read them. And I'm like, I really have nothing in common with these books anymore, which is, I think that's okay. I'm okay with taking reading the adult books.
You know, it's actually kind of strange. I thought I was the only one that kind of thought that way, but I found myself drifting away from those in a large degree because it just seems that every year they're doing a giant reboot. I mean, when I was starting to collect comics seriously, like I had a subscription list getting mailed to my house, and I had a pull box at the local comic book store. I came on when Brian Michael Bendis was king of Marvel, and he was coming out with Secret Wars and everything else, mm-hmm. Secret Invasion. And then it was just every year, we're going to kill half our current lineup, and we're going to bring them back, and we're going to gender swap them, and we're going to merge universes, and we're going to omit this, and we're going to retcon that. And it's just – it's become a way to just make more cash for the movies.
And, or at least – or to test. It's to test stuff, I think. But it's also so confusing as a reader because I have – I look at the current cast, and I'm like – I don't know who any of these characters are, and now I can't read it because I have no sort of like I'd have to read like the past 3 years to figure out what the heck's going on, and I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, it's getting absolutely ridiculous these days, and I've been saying for a while, as Matt Kibbe usually said, politics is a lagging indicator of culture. And when I first started realizing that, I was a bit of an odd man out growing up. I mean, I was reading comics before Robert Downey Jr. made B-rated superheroes cool. Right. And now it seems that everyone in their hipster grandma is wearing an Iron Man t-shirt, you know, talking about the heroes. And now it's like the comics are giving less fan service, and it's more trying to fit a social agenda to make everyone feel inclusive. Like, they made Wonder Woman bisexual. They're making Iron Man a black chick. I mean, it's just – I don't get it.
So here's my thought on it, is that comics, the actual reading of comics, is being done by a more niche audience today. And it's something that I noticed. I was at New York Comic Con this past weekend, and actually Kibbe dropped by too. So we were hanging out there walking around, and you know, the people who actually read the books, I've noticed that they're more and more that they actually want that, you know. And you have a lot of people who watch the movies, but they don't read the superhero comics, and a lot of that's to do with the actual form of superhero comics, like we're just saying, like where you can't keep track of anything and they're totally changed. And so if you saw the movie, you would never know where to start with any of these things. I frankly couldn't tell you what Iron Man comic book to pick up because I don't think I've ever read one that made sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you go to that one where he had alcoholism and that's from like 20 years ago. Right. But like, I think that the movies serve a different function. The movies are more broad appeal, and the comics, I think, just as a function of how they're distributed too. I mean, consider the only place to buy a monthly comics is at a comic shop, and comic shops are niche to begin with. And, you know, I think that the Marvel and DC books are trying to ride a wave that gets some publicity. And one of the ways that they're doing it is through sort of, I think it's pandering. I also assume that they're not insulated from market forces. So, you know, DC canceled a ton of books. And I figure if the one bisexual Wonder Woman doesn't sell, they'll probably kick, who is it that's writing it? Greg Rucka off the book. And they'll go on a different direction, you know. I see a lot of people get worked up about the stuff on the internet, and I always wonder, like, how many of them ever actually read the comics that they're complaining about. I mean, I had some really valid problems with the Captain America book, but that's primarily
when they made
because
him a Nazi.
Well, that wasn't even my problem. The problem is that the writer of that book works. You know, has worked in, Democratic congressmen and stuff.
Wait, seriously?
Previously. Yeah. So he's a political hack.
So it
hack,
is connected.
Which, yeah. So he's a political hack to begin with. Yeah. But the problem isn't that he did the Cap is Hydra thing. I don't really care about that. It's been done before. It's comics. There's a cosmic cube and they change shit, whatever. It's fine. That's what happens. But the real issue is that he made every villain in both the Captain America with Steve Rogers and Captain America with Sam Wilson, all the villains are basically stereotypical cookie cutter conservative types.
Against Sam Wilson at the border, and he's saying,
right,
yeah,
yes.
Okay, that guy. Gotcha.
Yeah. And it's true. It's also true in the other Captain America book too. And it's, you know, he's continued that. And my problem with that is that it's just political hackery. There's, you know, I think that there's interesting storylines that you can do with sort of Cap being brainwashed into a bad guy. That's fine, whatever. But the problem is when you say that I'm going to specifically target my political enemies with a superhero comic book that's got a movie that just came out that's, you know, kids are going to come read it, and this is how, you know, you want to try and use this to brainwash them. Okay, guy, come on, do it in your creator owned books. Don't do it in the, you know, mainstream stuff that should be geared towards like 14-year-olds. But that's my major problem. And I've complained about it in a variety of outlets, and I have yet to get any hate mail from them. So I guess I'm not complaining loudly enough.
I gotcha, man. Hey, the moment you start getting the hate mail, you know, I actually brought up, I'm trying to remember way back. I had Keith Farrell from the Libertarian Republic on, and we were talking about mm-hmm. what would make up the social justice Avengers. And I brought up Jared Leto from Dallas Buyers Club dressed in drag with a giant machine gun. And I had someone email me, and they're like, why does he have to have a gun? Why can't he just be empowered in his own right? And I was like, what the heck?
You know what? Actually, that person's right, though. If he's going to be a true social justice warrior, he would not carry a gun. You know what I mean? But DC is putting out Social Justice Warrior, Social Justice Society of America, League, Justice League of America. Look it up. It's happening.
My God.
It's funny because the writer, and I like the guy, he's a nice guy, Steve Orlando, did a great, like, anarcho-cap, like, he did a great book called Undertow, which you should read, and it's totally falls into, it's totally libertarian, and I think, you know, the guy's a mild libertarian, I think, even if he doesn't know it, but Undertow is great, and so, but, you know, now he's doing this Justice League of America, which is more or less Social Justice Warriors, the Justice League version, which is, again, I think it's these companies, especially Marvel and DC, they're fighting to get mainstream looks outside of the movies, and they found that this is how they break news, you know, and they're assuming that that leads to sales. And I think that they're doing this, but they're also ditching their old audience at the same time. So I'm curious to see how it affects market, because that's all I care about. Because if there's less people going into comic shops, there's less people buying my book on a monthly basis. So there's a selfish reason for everything, right?
Yeah, totally. Matt, we're going to go ahead and take our final commercial break and head into the final segment. Folks, hang on tight. We'll be right back after this.
Renzo in the mix.
Hello, my name is Alex Merced, and a great way to promote the libertarian message is through libertarian media, blogs, podcasts, videos. At libertarianwingmedia.com, it's an open door policy for any libertarian who would like to contribute. So just email me at alexmerced@alexmerced.com and I'll set you up as an author. At libertariansocial.com, you can have a profile, create groups, become friends with other members, message other members, and post blogs. At libertarian101.com, you'll find several videos on pretty much any question you can think of and any issue libertarian. So check those out and make sure to subscribe to great libertarian podcasts, such as the Alex Mercedcast, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad, Lions of Liberty, and the Remzo Republic. Thank you very much.
When did failure become sexy? When did repeating the same mistake over and over again sound smart? I'm Lucy Brenton, candidate for U.S. Senate, and like you, I'm worried about the future of our country. I've taught my children simple principles, which our government has forgotten. Live within your budget. Don't hurt people and don't take their stuff. We remember those simple kindergarten rules. Isn't it time our government does? To learn more, check out my website, lucyforsenate.com. That's lucyforsenate.com. Join me and make your vote count on November 8th. My name is Lucy Brenton, and I approve this message.
Program, you're back to our final segment where we're going to lead off. For those of you that have been listening the past couple weeks, you've known that we've adopted our new game segment, Political Word Association from Hell. But I feel that tonight deserves something a little bit special because this was a very non-political, political themes episode tonight. I want to give something back to you, the fans who have been demanding more comic-centric material to kind of guide you away from everything going off the election. So if you've been listening back all the way to episode 1 through 3, you remember we used to do a game segment called Lightning Round, where I gave off 10 rapid-fire questions, and the person had to answer them. Some of them were politically related, some of them weren't. In this case, it's going to be a little bit different. This is the comic-themed Lightning Round. Matt, I'm going to give you 10 questions. Go ahead and answer them under 30 seconds. If you lose, you lose. But if you win, you get the ultimate Rumps of Republic no prize, which is essentially ultimate bragging rights.
Fantastic. You're going to tie me on the 30, right? Because I can go long.
I've got to watch. I'll go ahead and give you like a 10-second mark and 5 seconds, then I'll just cut into the next one.
Okay.
Sound good? Okay, so Matt, are you ready?
Let's rock. Yeah, let's go, man.
Favorite comic book writer and why?
Crap. This is obvious, but Frank Miller. He just wrote all the books that really affected me when I first started reading comics. So I'll give it to him.
If you had to kill one influential comic book character permanently, who would it be?
Would I kill? I'd probably kill Iron Man at this point just because everyone pays attention to him, but his books always suck.
Question number 3. If you had to turn one influential libertarian figure into a comic book character, who would it be? Judge Napolitano or Ron Paul?
Neither. That'd be a boring book, man. sorry, but no, no, that's like turning Atlas Shrugged into a comic. It'd be boring. I'd be like that'd be Watchmen as a like that'd be all my problems about Watchmen. Like it's a crap ton of dialogue and it's boring to read. Sorry. But yeah, I know it's a non-answer, but it's an answer.
It's still an answer. It's still an answer. Question number 4, the most statist comic book title out there.
I mean, Captain America is sort of a statist. I mean, at least his title is. He sometimes trends away from statism, but that's all I got, man. Captain America, he's kind of a statist.
Question number 5. Worst DC Comics film ever.
You know, I'm one of those weirdos who liked Batman v Superman. I didn't see Suicide Squad. I guess the worst one that I've seen. Oh, you know what? That Killing Joke movie was not good. I mean, I also don't like Alan Moore. I don't know if you've noticed this as a trend. But yeah, that was not good. It was bad. It wasn't good.
Question number 6. Least favorite comic book writer and why?
Nick Spencer. That's the guy who's writing the Captain America books. It's because he's a hack. Refer to the second segment where I kind of ranted about why I hate him.
Question number 7. Are comics counterculture or hipster culture?
As a guy who owns a rather large record collection, I don't know if I can impartially judge hipsterism. I'm going to say that at this point they probably teeter between almost sort of mainstream just because of the movies, but also hipsterism because if you ever look around a comic book thing, they're all hipsters. So.
Question number 8, if Donald Trump was one comic book supervillain, who would he be?
Um, You know, I guess he's Dr. Doom-esque, but maybe like, but also sort of like, he's got to have the sort of like personality sort of, he's insecure. So like, jeez, I don't know. Dr. Doom's sort of insecure. Dr. Doom, fine. That was the first thing that came to mind. So
question number nine, which fictional country would George Bush invade first, Latveria or Wakanda?
Wakanda is like geographically closer to where he likes to invade. I feel like Latveria would probably export more terrorists though. So I'm going to go with Latveria.
And question number 10, if you could be the head writer for any current mainstream comic series, what would it be?
Well, I primarily draw, but I have no desire to work for a Marvel or DC book, but if I had to, it'd be the Punisher because it's my favorite character, and he actually kills the bad guys. You know, like they don't recur because they're dead. And that's always something that drove me nuts about like when you read Batman comics and like it's like, dude, every time he walks away, like, dude, you killed all those people, bro. Like, get it together. Just kill the Joker. This is stupid. So the Punisher, the best Marvel superhero, the best superhero, honestly, of all time. And he's super because he kills the bad guys.
And that is Lightning Round, the special Rump for Republic comic edition.
Fantastic.
Lightning Round. Matt, you win ultimate bragging rights.
Great. And with the bragging rights, let's put a plug in. You can pre-order The Trade of Indoctrination on Amazon or go to indoctrinationcomic.com.
Perfect. Matt, if there. People want to follow you on social media, follow the comic and everything else, where else can they go?
Matt J. Bat on Twitter. That's it. And then, I mean, we have a Facebook page for the comic, but we don't really do too much with it. But definitely just honestly, please pre-order The Trade on Amazon. It's up. And you can also buy the single issues on Comixology. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, that's all I got for plugs.
Awesome. Matt Battaglia, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was an absolute blast having you on.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is great. That was a good lightning round. That was fun. Definitely do those.
It was
those
good
are
to
good.
Bring him back. It was good to bring him back. And hopefully,
yeah, it's a good segment.
we try and entertain here and there. After all, politics is depressing enough. We need to unwind somehow.
I hear you there.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. Be sure to follow me on Twitter. I'm at Remso101. I want to let you know, since the last time I spoke to you, I've actually gone up 500 followers. I'm at 1,066 followers now, whereas several weeks ago I was at like 5. So it's absolutely insane. Thank you so much for following us on Twitter. Be sure to subscribe to the show on SoundCloud, TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and tune in. As always, I'm your host, Remso W. Martinez. Be good to your neighbor, love your family, and it's never too late to do the right thing. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?